Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5. Why then has this people, Jerusalem, turned away in continual apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. Welcome to the program, God and Country. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In today's program, we're going to look at this question. Why has this people, America, turned away in continual apostasy? And in answering this question, I trust we will be corrected, informed, and inspired by the scriptures. How you answer this question shows whether or not you really understand what the Bible has to say about causation, the difference between the root of sin and the fruit of sin. And we want to know the cause for America's moral decline because in order to fix the disease, we must correctly diagnose the cause of the disease. If we're to put America back on the straight and narrow, we must begin by getting back on the path where we got off the path. Our discussion today is going to be quite theological, but in the end, I believe the concluding answer is very important for the Christian community to understand. Have you noticed that there has been a continual moral decline in our country? Social morals are continually becoming more lax, and one wonders where it's going to end. Just last month, the Second U.S. Court of Appeals overruled the FCC's fine on ABC for showing nudity on a 2003 episode of NYPD Blues. The courts claimed that the FCC rulings were too vague, since the FCC decides in which context nudity is permitted. Since the FCC might allow nudity on a National Geographic program, it can't prohibit it on a police show. So the courts threw out the age-old standard that there are some forms of nudity that are appropriate for a documentary or for news, and there are other forms of nudity that are for lust. Last year, the courts threw out the FCC ruling prohibiting expletives. So now the door is open to both nudity and the F word on television. But this is no surprise. Nighttime sitcoms and dramas are all about who's having sex with who. I have here in front of me a whole list of shocking lines from nighttime television shows, and the list is too indecent for me to read on this program. Do you remember back in the 1960s on the Andy Griffith Show? The episode where Andy Griffith slept with Opie's schoolteacher, and Aunt Bee couldn't say anything about it because she was sleeping with the teacher's father, and Barney was caught in the middle because he was bisexual and had sex with everyone involved? Oh, that was a hilarious episode. You don't remember it? Because it never happened. But that scenario is exactly what is being portrayed in mainstream national sitcoms. And the writers of these new sitcoms believe they are so relevant and realistic. They hate the morality of the past, calling shows like Little House on the Prairie or Leave it to Beaver or Ozzie and Harriet or Father Knows Best, calling them phony, prudish, old-fashioned. And for them, those old shows are offensive, because morality and goodness is not in their nature. They hate righteousness. They do not feel comfortable with goodness. Entertainment and fun for them is immorality. Yes, life has changed in America. Last month, the figures came out that 41% of births in New York City ended in abortion. I was talking with a friend who worked in the prison system, a well-known state prison that has housed 800,000 prisoners in its history. From 1890 to 1989, housed 100,000 prisoners. The other 700,000 prisoners came in the last 20 years. At this rate of moral decline, it doesn't look good for the future of America. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 5 through 6. Why then has this people turned away in continual apostasy? I have listened and heard. They have spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? The prophets of ancient Israel asked this question often. Why? Because they too were perplexed as to why the nation had fallen from God and into sin. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 29. Why do you contend with me? You have all transgressed against me, declares the Lord. One way the problem has been diagnosed is to see the world as operating in spiritual cycles, like the cycles recorded in the book of Judges. We read in Judges chapter 3 that the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God sold them into the hands of the king of Mesopotamia. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and they were delivered. Then in Judges chapter 3, verse 12, again, the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened the king of Moab against Israel. In distress, the Israelites again turned back to God. And there were seven cycles of sin, punishment, repentance, restoration, which spanned the 400-year period of the Judges from about 1400 to 1000 BC. When the people became prosperous, they forgot the Lord and did evil. Then the Lord handed them over to the fruit of their ways. And when they suffered in desperation, they turned back to the Lord. In the same way, it outwardly seems as if the prosperity of America has brought about a departure from God. And with that departure came evil. When a people are blessed, they no longer feel they need God and fall away. The famous early American preacher Cotton Mather wrote, "Religion begot prosperity, and the daughter devoured the mother." Historically, societies that follow God's moral law become prosperous. But once prosperous, nations forget the moral discipline necessary for survival, and they move toward liberalism and moral license. Then liberalism produces economic decline and crime, so then societies move back toward traditional morality. And God may use the punishment intrinsic in sin to teach the world and to keep the world in check. So you see these cycles like in the book of Judges. These moral cycles are seen in business cycles. There are cycles between war and peace, wealth and poverty, freedom and oppression. A nation begins in liberty and it moves toward oppressive government. And then there's a revolution and liberty is restored. Nations rise, nations fall. Every empire, like the Roman Empire, goes through a cycle. Rome was founded on traditional morality, and then after she became prosperous, she went toward immorality and decline. How long do these cycles last? Well, it depends if you're looking at the big cycle or the little cycles within the big cycle. The last 2,000 years can be seen as one big cycle. Jesus came in the fullness of time to take mankind from his lowest point, and Jesus infused life back into a dying world. He put the moral foundation back on top of the hill. Secular humanism of the ancient world had run its full course and left the society of Rome morally bankrupt and in chaos. Gross immorality was rampant. The government was corrupt. The institution of the family was destroyed. Cruelty and violence was on every hand. Left to herself, Western Europe would have evolved downward into a primitive animalistic society. But Christ was preached. And in desperation, the Western people turned to Christ and his written word. As the gospel spread, it brought the fruit of the Spirit to the Western world, love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, goodness. This brought prosperity. But once prosperous, the West created new philosophies of life, or rather, we should say, revived the old pagan thoughts. These new schools of thought in the 19th century were nothing more than old paganism revisited. The common theme of all of them, Marx, Sartre, Huxley, Nietzsche, Voltaire, Darwin, was simply, we don't need God any longer. These men challenged God with their experiment to remove God and the Bible from Western society. And not just these core philosophers, the entertainers, the artisans, the educators, the politicians, and all common men joined together to remove Christ. You get the sense in which once the world had been given many modern devices, the world said, thank you very much. Now we can do without God. Science replaced God. Now, where will this cycle end? Will we go through another rebirth of Christianity after the secularists have driven the world into chaos? Maybe. But the prevailing thought in eschatology is that this cycle will end with the gospel being preached as a witness to all nations, the majority of the Gentile world rejecting Jesus Christ and embracing the Antichrist. The apocalypse will come, and then Jesus will return to save his people. I love Isaiah 26:18, which reads, "We could not accomplish deliverance for the earth." And in the context, we see that in the end, God himself has to come to punish evildoers and save his people. But even though there seems to be one big cycle over the last 2,000 years, there are also little cycles within the big cycle. Even during our present decline, there are occasional moral upswings. Conservative shifts. That is when the older generation is temporarily shocked by the new immorality, pushing the envelope a little too fast, or when the price of immorality and licentiousness is just too high, or when there are disasters like 9/11 that shake secular optimism, people move back toward traditional morality. And there are conservative trends in the history of America, even as the moral basis is steadily eroded. But let's stop for a moment and think biblically about these cycles. Jesus said, "Do not judge according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment." First, these cycles may only represent unsaved, natural man's outward conformity to the law of God, but may have nothing to do with true righteousness and what is going on among the true people of God. These cycles recorded in the book of Judges are unsaved people moving from immorality back to religious conformity and then back toward immorality. But it has nothing to do with what's really going on in regard to true righteousness and conversion. These cycles represent only how much or how little the unsaved are conforming outwardly to the law of God. The whole point of the book of Judges is not to show that coming to God is a function of personal wealth and peace, but to show how insincere and how hypocritical the unsaved majority were in outwardly conforming to the law of God. They came to God only for what they could get from God. Second, the root cause for Israel's departure from God was not her prosperity. Something else was causing Israel to depart from God, because when a man loves God, wealth, prosperity, and blessing don't cause him to fall away. They cause him to serve God all the more. In reading the book of Judges, one might wrongly conclude that materialistic prosperity and peace causes apathy and a departure from God. Therefore, America's moral decline was due to her prosperity. Poverty and trouble doesn't turn an evil man into a good man. Neither does wealth and peace turn a good man into an evil man. So I believe you would agree with me that material prosperity is not the true root cause for America's decline. So let's consider some other reasons put forth as the cause for our nation's moral decline. One popular reason is the secular confiscation of public education. If I were the devil and I wanted to bring a country into sin, I would remove the Bible and God from the schools. The one who controls the education of the children controls the destiny of the nation. One conservative author writes in his book that the stealing of the American education system was the primary cause of our nation's immorality. Evil has to be empowered by some means in order to spread, and it came by the forced taxation to support government schools. The state colleges and their liberal educators would not last for a minute if they did not force taxpayers to support them. And the system itself created liberal teachers, since these teachers are not exposed to the real working world. It was large government control that brought about evil. Corruption comes through Babylon, the empires of men. Governments empower evil. But is that analysis correct? Is the government system the cause for our evil? If America stayed with the private education system, would that have prevented our moral decay? When I read this, I had a real problem with concluding that evil is a function of the system rather than something created by the individual. The education system wasn't evil. It was used for evil because it was run by evil people. Here is another possible cause for America's moral decline. Ministries that work with family issues will tend to attribute America's decline to the decline of the family. The family is the core institution. As the family goes, so goes the nation. Feminism, indifferent parents, deadbeat dads and moms raise dysfunctional kids, and you get a dysfunctional society. So the answer is to return to the biblical mandate that parents raise their children in the knowledge of God, and then society will be changed. But is neglecting the family the root cause for America's moral decline, or is there some deeper reason? Is not the decline of the family the result of our departure from God, not the cause? Creation science ministries are big on linking all of the moral decline in America with man's understanding of origins, Darwinism. When we no longer believed God was the creator, that opened the door to alternative secular philosophies and to young people living for self. Therefore, scientific materialism and evolution are to blame. And that ruined American families and schools. And to save America, we must teach the foundations of Genesis. But is that the cause of our apostasy or the fruit of our apostasy? Then there are those who attribute America's moral decline to political ideology. And you would think that a program like God and Country would attribute the fall of America to the deception that government is to be religiously neutral. The Constitution left God out. The basis for law was natural law, not biblical law. Therefore, the seed of our destruction was not following the teachings of the Reformation, that the institution of government needs to be under the authority of the Word of God. Maybe it's more than a coincidence that the crack in the Liberty Bell weaves its way straight through the word liberty. Freedom from God was our error. But is political philosophy to blame? Would a good and godly people fall for a secular philosophy of government? Was not our embracing of a secular government the fruit of our rebellion, not the root? I recently read one author who wrote volumes about multiculturalism as being the factor that brought about moral decline in America. The belief that all religions are equal, all sexuality is equal, all life is equal. This was a new religion with new values. America, he wrote, lost its grasp on its own historic character and embraced diversity as a national goal. America no longer enforced standards, made judgments, distinguished between good and evil, friend or foe. Is multiculturalism our downfall? Some blame the Industrial Revolution because we became too impressed with our industry and our science, so that observable science became the source of truth rather than the Word of God. Others say that the cause was the sexual revolution of the 1960s. Some blame the mass media. It was Hollywood, the TV, and movies. Never before could error and sin be delivered so quickly into people's homes. People gathered around the TV rather than the church. Some blame the music. It doesn't matter who writes national laws as long as one can write the music. Then there are religious reasons. It's when we abandon the Sabbath, or it's when God's people stop tithing. Some lay the blame at the feet of dispensational theology and premillennialism, which caused the Christian community to shun social involvement. One well-known Christian philosopher writes, the decline of America was due to the rise of pietism in the 19th century church. The pietist movement forsook public involvement. The church retreated. The Christian witness failed to address subjects apart from conversion. Yet I wonder, did the church abandon the public sphere? Or wasn't it that the ungodly leaders pushed out the church's voice on social issues? I believe the church was pushed out. So I've just reviewed some of the causes put forth for America's decline. And it's hard for the Christian to process all of these reasons. I mean, there are volumes written on the social effect of the family, education, political theory. There are books upon books written from the secular conservative side, from the religious right side, that attribute all sorts of causes to the moral decline in America. Now, some of these books are deficient in their analysis, but helpful. Other books are insidious. Some writers proclaim that they have discovered the key reason for America's decline, and if we just fix that one problem, it will move everything back to God. Beware of such writers. Here's a theological mistake all of these writers are making. To make all or part of these events or ideas the cause of sin creates a theological problem of the first order. It is putting the cart before the horse and attributing the sins of men to causes outside of man, the environment, language, ignorance, mistakes in judgment, a wrong perspective, the deceit of others. All these reasons tend to make man innocent, and they put the cause of sin as something outside of man. It follows a simpleton's view of history that all we need is better effort, better men, better education, or better devices, and we will be okay. That the wills of men can be changed by certain influences. But these people fail to understand the human bondage to sin. They instead believe in humanity's liberty of choice, so that if men were under the right influences, men would simply choose the good. But what do we read in the scripture about the condition of mankind? Psalm chapter 14, the Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. The reason for the moral decline in America is simply that mankind is evil and in rebellion to God. Men are dead in their trespasses and in their sins, and the natural man does not subject himself to the law of God. And the reason mankind's sin has become more visible is that God has chosen to remove his outward restraint. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. So Darwinism or socialism or the sexual revolution or the media or the education system or the degraded family did not make us bad, but because we were bad, we did these things. This was the fruit, not the root of our decline. But here is the final point. If we understand the true cause of our moral decline, then we will address the problem with the right cure. And the only cure is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Given that the cause of our corruption is not something external, not some system or method, but something intrinsic to mankind, evil within, we are left with only one cure, the gospel. Yes, we should address the fruit of sin, what I call secondary causations, those problems with our institutions and our philosophy, but never preach these things without reminding people that these are only the fruit, not the root, that the cure is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, that the problem is evil within. And on the road to recovery, we will fix our institutions and our philosophy, but only after we first preach the gospel. My counsel to you is that when you listen to these moral reformers who are pointing out all the problems of America, beware of those who do not discern the real spiritual problem. There is a difference between the symptoms you get from a cold and the cold itself. People wrongly attribute the symptoms to the disease, and that's especially true when diagnosing the problems in America. And if you treat the symptoms and not the disease, it may give you the appearance of relief, but in the end, it will only make matters worse. I have many contemporary conservative books in my office, and it's no mistake that all of these authors who attribute the decline of America to our institutions, to the environment, to our ideology, are the same authors who never mention the need for the preaching of the gospel. Why? Because they don't understand the real reason for evil, nor do they understand the cure found in Jesus Christ. The problems in America are not going to be fixed until, as Jesus said, the axe is laid to the root. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. This has been one of those deep foundational theological programs. You may want to listen to this program again. You can do that by going to our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can download this program, or you can call us at 732-583-9286, and we will send you a CD of this program. At godandcountryradio.org, you can listen to all of our past programs. They are there for your discipleship. We want God's people to be filled with the knowledge of God's word, for there is power in the word of Christ. You can help us through your prayers. You can help us with a financial gift. It's not that we're looking for large donations, but we know that if at least a quarter of those who listen to this program just sent us a few dollars every year, we could not only cover our expenses, but expand the program. Some can give much, others can give little, but if the Christian community is faithful in giving, we can get the word out to this generation. Let us know what's on your heart, topics or issues that we should cover or clarify. That's godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Let's close in prayer. And now, Lord, give your people discernment that they would know the true reason for evil in this world. And they would be all the more confident that the only cure is the transforming power you offer through genuine saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.